بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A king had a dream wherein he had seen a huge tree and all type of fruit, some ripe, some overripe, some green, some small, some big, all sizes, all kinds. And he seen a knife coming from above, falling to this tree and cutting the fruit, cutting some fruit that is green, some that is ripe, overripe, some small, some big, all sizes. And over the tree is a lid. So there's a tree and there is all type of fruit, all sizes and all kinds, and there is a lid over the fruit. So the king was a little bit perturbed after seeing this dream, and he sent a message that I need to understand the interpretation of this dream. So the ministers say, advisors say, that this may be just a melody of thoughts passing your mind. And the king says, no, I need to know the interpretation. And if I don't get the explanation of this dream, then nobody can have his meal. King is what a position. And sometimes the position is exploited. Take advantage over the position that you are. Nobody can cook any meal. Nobody can cook any meal. So the police are all at all points to see if any smoke is coming out of any home. The length and the breadth of the country, the command and this directive has been passed, announced. Nobody can cook and prepare anything until and unless I get the explanation of this dream. Anyway, one soldier that was just returning of after his service, he came home and is insisting on his mother that I need to eat something. Can't. You are going to put my life and your life into danger. Endanger my life and your life. So the soldier says, soldiers normally are a little bit brave people. One soldier, he heard about the qabr and the azab of the qabr, you see. So he's passing a qabristan. I'm sorry. One person heard about the azab of the qabr. So he went to inspect now, do I see the azab myself or not? Generally in every qabristan, they have one, two graves spare. It's an emergency, then they don't have to dig up at the last moment. So he saw one open grave. So he went inside that grave, said, let me go and experience it firsthand. He went inside that grave and he lied down, put the chadar over him. In the meanwhile, one soldier was going past that way. So soldiers generally are a little bit brave people, because they go through all type of things, all type of situations. He heard some voice in the grave, say, what's wrong? He said, let me go and check inside what's going on. So he saw this man here, came two shots with Ruf, get out of him, go home. Now he went back to the masjid where the Mullah was giving the talk. See, unnecessarily threatening people like this, man. I went through the whole process. You go there, you lie down, the police will come, give you two whips, and you go home. Okay. So, the king has passed this command, it's gone throughout the length and the breadth of the town, of the country. This soldier has just returned, hungry, long, arduous journey, and says, I want to eat. So the mother says that you're endangering my life and your life. So he says, no, we'll see to that later on. Just prepare the food now. The person is really hungry and he's desperate, so he will go to any lengths. Anyway, he was apprehended. So he appeared before the court and he told, say, just give me 3 days, I will work out the interpretation of this dream. I'll explain this. Now, he was so convincing that he said, alright, carry on. Because we can't get a solution. This person, he promises that he's going to come up with some solution. It's better than just living here in the dark. So anyway, he had the meals, jump onto his horse, and he's inspecting. He's going throughout the town, throughout the city, throughout the state. This person, that person, this person looks dull, medium, average, intelligent. Anyway, his eyes was attracted by a small girl, caught by a small girl. Not physical, not outward attraction, but something looked interesting in that girl. He went up there and he was quite thirsty. So he asked the girl for some water. So she brought some water and left it down. So he understood that this girl seems to be not only brilliant, but also a bashful girl, because she didn't give the water to me in my hand. Had she given the water in my hand, then I would have misconstrued. So she seems to be bashful. See, modesty is something that is natural in women. And when they are showing modesty and they are showing shame, then we do not need to break this. At any level, don't break it. They're showing modesty, they're showing shame, they're showing respect, then respect that and appreciate that. It happens sometimes, you go to a house and a girl is asked to meet this Mawlana King, that Mawlana King. If she's refusing, don't insist on her. And number two, if she's around 5, 6, 7, then don't ask her to meet. Now she's over that age. Now, feminine features are beginning to appear in this girl. And those features are beginning to appear, and then you're asking her to confront men and meet them, and the natural fortress that Allah Ta'ala has created in her, you are cracking it down, you're breaking it down. She's got a fortress to stay away from men. She's got an inbuilt chip, as though that she needs to refrain from men. And then we're insisting on her to go and meet men. We're helping her to break it. And then the type of information that is fed to these children in schools, etc., that also goes against the grain. They say, no, it's equality, but they need to meet freely. They mustn't have any resistance towards men, and men mustn't have any resistance towards women, and both are equal. So that little bit of shame that was there naturally, that shame has been broken down. Really, if you think about women, then the beauty in them is the shame. The real beauty and the real attraction is shame. If they got that shame, then they are beautiful. They have got that modesty, they are beautiful. And minus that shame and modesty, there's no beauty in that girl. See? The Quran actually speaks about the daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salam. جاءت إحداهما تمشي على استحياء. One of them came and she's walking bashfully, shamefully. It's the father's instruction, they have to complete the father's instruction. But then how do they go and approach a man? How do they go and speak to a man? Here you get women speaking openly. No, telephone, anything and everything that comes their way. They don't feel any hesitation, any resistance in speaking about it. Here the man has to feel ashamed. He is talking of very, very sensitive areas. sensitive things, intimate type of relationships he's speaking about. But they're not supposed to be speaking, but they are speaking like maslas. Now what do? You ask them, ask your husband to refer to us. Husband not interested, so what do? So this shame and morality, shame and morals, this was the beauty of woman. And systematically this is being cracked down, broken down. When it's systematically broken down, then what stops them from having wrong type of relationship? What stops them? Nothing stops them. That was the barrier. And that was the beauty. And now we help them to break it down. Now we help them to break it down. Now what stops them to going across? So it's a barrier that Allah Ta'ala has created in women that don't cross over to men. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullahi used to feel very offended. Goes at places and says, meet my daughters. Allah says, once they reach 6-7 years of age, then don't send them out to meet any alim, any buzurg. In fact, I would say even 5 years of age. When they're 5 years of age, don't let them meet anybody. Because that feminine feature is coming out. And then the stupid woman dressed those girls. Dress them with a beautiful dress. Sometimes now, alright, one is dressing them up in dresses. That's a different thing. There's still some haya in those dresses, provided they are sewn correctly. Then the stupid mothers, they dress them up with tight fitting clothing, some body revealing and tight fitting. And at that age, small little age, tender age, 5 years, and body revealing clothing. Okay. Where is the understanding gone to? Then if something and some person goes and molests their child, then they are quick to cry to take it up. But they created that situation, they brought up that situation. You're asking the person, jump into the sea but don't get wet. Now does it happen? Say the person, jump into the sea but don't get wet. So what place the Quran and the Hadith has given to women, they must just remain there. Remain there. Don't go and become too open with women. You will become too open with women, you will become too open with men, and you will definitely make a fool of yourself. Now, at an engagement, look at a real situation I'm showing you, at an engagement, look at the stupidity of a woman when she tries to become like a man. She becomes a little bit too forward. Right? It's an engagement or a proposal, and she becomes a little bit more brave than what he's expected to be. She crosses the limit. Right? Now, the boy's mother, when she sees the girl that is to be her daughter-in-law, she's saying, "Hey, you're so beautiful, man. I will definitely have to change my son's bedsheet tomorrow. I will definitely have to change my son's bed sheets. It's so beautiful." Now, see the stupidity. The inference is absolutely clear. He will see you, then he'll engage. If he engages, the whole bed sheet will be spoiled and I have to change it. But now, is this something expected of a woman? Is this the type of behavior? But this happens when they cross the mark. They remain within the limit, they don't act stupid. But they go beyond the limit, they are really revealing their naivety, their stupidity. In fact, not only women, but men also. If men also try and cross the limit. Okay. One Sikh, you know, this, in India they got Sikhs. So, he had to rest somewhere, perhaps in Malawi. It's mosquito infested. So they gave him a mosquito net. So, they came up to him in the morning. "But how did you sleep? You slept well?" He said, "No. What happened? One mosquito got into the net." "One mosquito got into the net. So I was very sharp. You know what I did? What I did, I came out of the net. And I told the mosquito, 'You're going to bite. Who are you going to bite now? Bite. Who are you going to bite now?'" So that's what I say. Some people, it is better for them just to keep quiet. Remain calm. Don't try to be smart. Don't try to be more intelligent than what you are. You will still maintain your respect. The moment you cross that mark, now all your stupidity begins to reveal. All is being exposed. So Allah Ta'ala has kept a barrier for women. They remain within that barrier. Their respect is maintained. People look up at them. It's a respectful woman. I telephoned the house. The father or the husband wasn't there. So she spoke very straight. What is it? Who do you want? So the man says, I got a fight. I just left the phone down. Now that's the way that a woman is supposed to be speaking. What is it? What do you want? Who do you want? He'll get a fright. He said, no, my husband is not here. Do you know him? How do you know him? And where did you meet him? Now she gets into a conversation. She is not required to get into a conversation. One thing leads to the other, and you don't know where to draw the limit after that. It's enough talk afterwards. And then you don't know where to draw the line. Then before you know it, and everything is gone. All the hell has broken loose. So Allah Ta'ala has decreed a place for women. Remain in your place. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. Remain in your place. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Don't make an exposure. Don't make a display like the former days of ignorance. Oh, the women in the former days of ignorance, how they would expose themselves. Don't go and expose yourselves. How they would make a display of themselves. Don't make a display of yourselves. There's something now, you can't afford it, you can't help it, to go to court or something. Right? That's a different thing. There to guard yourself. When they made this type of a mixed culture, that there is no distinction between man and woman. Now, a woman is dressed and half her breast is being exposed. See? How much does a man guard himself? How much does he look after himself? He's looking this side, there is something wrong. On that end, he's looking something wrong. He looks in front, something wrong. How much must he guard himself? So until and unless, nowadays it's such, until and unless you are forced, you are compelled to leave the house, then just remain in the house. Or go into a place which is totally fitna-free. And you're going to an airport unnecessarily. You don't have to go, the person is going to come. Yes, if you have to, there's a genuine need for you to be there, it's a different thing. But otherwise, you're going to violate something. You're going to try and do something right, but you're going to violate another command. Now you heard of a special going on, and you must go to that mall. And then, if you come across a doll, then the next thing will be the hall. And then very soon will be the fall after that. Understand? All this thing, one after the other, it comes. Doll, hall, and everything follows afterwards. See? So if you need to go at a time where it's not going to be frequented. Maybe if it's not the time of a sale, you'll pay 5% more or 10% more. But I tell you that the 10% is cheaper than spoiling your eyes. So, no, I didn't do it voluntarily, it just came in front of me. I ask you, if you touch poison, you say, no, I touched the poison by mistake, the poison mustn't affect me. Does the poison say, no, I'm not going to affect you because you touched me by mistake? That thing won't read you, it's going to affect you. Exactly the same. Whether you've seen by mistake or you've seen deliberately, it's going to definitely affect you. It's going to have a stain in your heart. Now to rub that stain, it's not an easy thing. It's not a joke. In your namaz, now sometimes that is going to come and play with you. Same thought. But the eyes too much, man. The eyes, can't forget that. But that one smile she gave, just one smile. What a smile she gave. In your namaz is coming. In your namaz. I'm telling you, people come and mention the halat. In your namaz. So there's a place for them, there's a place for you. Right? And now when they don't know their place, then it's better for you, then don't go out unnecessarily. You need to go out. Where there is a genuine need, then you go within the limits and come back within the limits quickly. You don't go beyond the limits. They forgot the limit now. If people are driving recklessly, and you say, no, I need to be on the road. But you will go when there is a genuine need. And you will try and be very careful. And as soon as possible, you will come back. Because they have forgotten that they have to drive within a system. When they are reckless, and they have forgotten that they have to drive within a system, then must you endanger your life? Is that wisdom? Is that intelligence? No, it's not intelligence. You're getting something and losing something. Gaining something and losing something. Remember, like the eyes, the tongue, the ears, the heart are means of gaining. If these taps are not closed, when they are not required, then all that which has been gained all will spill out. Like they are the means to acquire. See, the one end of the tap, it acquires, it draws the water. Right? The one end, it draws. But if you're not going to seal it correctly, then you're going to be just wasting. Whatever you've acquired now, Ramadan, after Ramadan, Hajj time, before Hajj, all is just getting wasted. You're drawing, and then you're wasting. You're drawing and you're wasting because you don't know how to seal the tap. So you need to learn how to acquire, and then you need to understand also how to seal it up. Don't get engaged in these things. Unfortunately, we come across the situations. And you have to speak about it. It's real situations. People are confronted with these things. And we cannot say that we become immune. Don't get misled when anybody says that I'm immune to it. I'm going through this every day. If anybody says that I'm going through this every day, therefore I've become immune, then I couldn't expect him to have children after that. He's immune now. How he gets children? He still gets children. He still enjoys himself with his wife. He still gets children. So the feelings are active in him. To say that, no, I'm immune and I can do it. Oh, that's stupidity. It's wrong. See, Allah Pak likes us to be true with ourselves. Don't beat around the bush. Don't be dishonest with Allah Ta'ala. Be truthful to yourself. This is a problem. It's a problem. I will accept it. Now you can see now, all right, for example, there is a packet, right? And there is a picture of a girl. Or there's a toothpaste and there's a picture of a girl. Right? It's going to affect you for 1 minute, for 1 second, it's going to affect you. You can't say that beauty doesn't affect you. Right? Otherwise, you'll say, no, he's a senseless person, he doesn't have senses. If you have senses, you have perception that beauty is going to affect you. Right? Then somehow you get rid of it. You must get rid of it. You're not going to get rid of it. That's going to affect your heart. One thing is going to lead to the other. Leave these things out. Okay. One person was complaining. Now, that I reached this age, not too old, under 50 still, but I don't have any feelings now. 3 weeks and 4 weeks and 5 weeks. I don't have any feelings. Feelings are all dead in me. You got children, I got children. Yeah. But now I don't feel. So I thought for a moment and I told him, Allah has Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Darul Uloom Deoband, he explained once that the muttaqi, the one that is God fearing, right? His quwwat and his strength is great, is intense. And he gave a logical explanation to the reason why he's strong. He says, let's see, look at it, analyze the situation. When a person takes and enjoys lust, right, then the lust is not only coming out from one end, it's coming out from different avenues. It comes out from the eyes, one avenue, comes out from the ear, another avenue. Over the phone, how many people don't get affected? Tell me, how many people don't get affected? Sweet voice coming through. See? And on the other end, you may be an obese, ugly little woman. Absolutely obese. Absolutely ugly looking. But the voice is giving up. You say, hey, I want to see who is this woman. Okay. But the voice will give her. And you're going to start making qiyas. If the voice is like this, then what she must be? You make qiyas. And everywhere qiyas doesn't work. Your analogy and reasoning doesn't work everywhere. Okay. So the eyes is one avenue of releasing lust. The ears is an avenue of releasing lust. Even the nose is an avenue to release lust. Remember that. You got some perfume, something that's attractive. You are releasing some lust. The mouth is an avenue of releasing lust. Everybody knows that. You don't need an explanation for that. Right? The lips and the tongue, all these things here. All are avenues to release lust. Right? And similarly, the heart also releases lust. وَالْقَلْبُ يَشْتَهِي. So that's also a zina, like an eyes is zina, ears is zina, The hand also is releasing lust. And the heart is also releasing lust. How? Fantasizing. You're thinking. And deliberately thinking along that lines. So everything is relieving some lust. Now you've been totally unfair towards your wife, because all the lust was supposed to be directed to that queen of the house. All that lust was supposed to be directed to the queen of the house. What you did, you released some from the eye, some from the ear, some from the tongue, some from the nose, some from the hand. Now what you had to give to your wife was very, very little. Right? So there is problems in the home, but the problem you have brought it about. So Qaiti Ibn Sabr Rahmatullah used to say that the person that is God fearing, alhamdulillah, you won't find his wife has got any problem. No problem. He doesn't need Viagra, he doesn't need anything. No supplements he needs. He doesn't require that supplement. He's strong enough, alhamdulillah. But the one that is ghair muttaqi, and he is channeling his lust in the wrong ways, he's releasing lust in wrong ways, really, he is weakening himself. He is inviting that impotency. Who's inviting? You're inviting it yourself. Now you want a supplement, do this and that. Well, can't give me a taweez, something's happening and someone put asar on me. No asar, you did the asar yourself. You made the asar yourself. So what I'm getting at this point with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala is when people are driving recklessly, must you just say, no, I need to be driving, I can't be stuck in the house. You won't endanger your life. One of the two. But there is no system left. You just walk out of the masjid, see those people working out there. There's one, two mamas and five men there. Three quarter of the time they'll be talking, kunjani and all that. And quarter of the time they'll be working. There's a woman there, they'll need to impress. It's impossible. Whoever is talking about the equality, he doesn't understand that one will have to impress the other. It happens in schools, it happens in colleges, it happens in university. Any level of education, you mix them both. One wants to impress on the other. Now you in a class, right? So you are very much concerned about your appearance. Hey, this girl is going to see me now, what she'll feel. Hey, I must brush my teeth properly, you know. Because she's sitting next to me, one step away. Oh, the teacher mustn't shout me. Because the teacher is going to shout me, how she'll take it. So where is the mind? Is the mind focused on the education, or is the mind focused on how they're going to receive you? Your mind has been distributed. Your mind is distributed, then you can't focus. The education requires attention and focus. What it requires? The most serious thing that the education requires is attention and focus. And his focus and attention is, how do they see me now? Do they take to me or not? Well, the teacher reprimanded me now. Now I must act like a brave person. Tell the teacher, what you up to? You can't carry on like this. See? But what he is doing it for? He is doing it to impress upon those girls. That's one level. Then the second level, now you become interested. Now starts from a pencil, sharpener, ball pen, homework, assignment. And then one thing leads to the other, everything goes wrong. See? But people need to understand. See? People really need to understand what they are doing. Just digressing. I was thinking for a couple of days now, amongst the reasons for marital disputes and problems, one reason I thought of, Allah Ta'ala put in my mind, you're educating that girl in the wrong way, right? You're giving her circular education. So she's taught a different culture. She's taught and she's educated in a wrong culture, in a university, in a school called a different culture. Right. The culture is you must be open, free, everybody's equal. So you're shaking hands with each other. Right? And if you can shake hands with each other in public, you can do something more serious. You can do something even more serious. On a last day, don't you know that it's an open thing in school? You can take the girl of your choice in the class and you can dance. That's an open thing in nearly every circular government school. You can do it. Now one thing is leading to the other. So she's been brought up in that type of environment. Freedom, Don't feel any hesitation to a man. Don't feel reluctant. Right? Right? Now it comes the time of marriage. Now I show you two problems that come at marriage. And I'm talking of problems that I had been confronted with. People had reported their problems. Girl got married. Now she's complaining. Wealthy family, affluent family, respectable family, but she is university educated. Now her first complaint is, my father forced me to get married to this boy. Right? Now the father himself is not right. His thinking is not right. He took the girl on the path of freedom, on the path of circular education, on the path of freedom, right? Then suddenly, when she felt that she needed to get married to anybody, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, anybody, practicing, not practicing, drug, not drug, then he put the brakes. But all the years, he took her along the path of freedom. All the years. Now, it came at this point where she needs to express, and she needs to express that feelings that were put into her throughout this career, throughout these years, now I want to put the brakes. So he's got no scruples. He's an unscrupulous man. Not that I'm not supporting what the girl is doing. She's doing what she's doing is wrong. But he is unscrupulous. He took her along this path. He taught her in this way. Freedom, education, go here, go here, at this level. Primary, secondary, tertiary. Become an educated person. Now when she wants to marry the person of her choice, she's going to put the brakes. I know what's better for you. But he brought her to this point. Like she wants to get married to a drug, to a non-Muslim, Christian, kafir, whatever it is. But why? Why can't I do it? Why can't I take the man of my choice? I can make a Muslim afterwards. Why are you forcing me? I mustn't get married to this type of girl. I mustn't get married to this type of boy. Why are you forcing me? That's the first level. The second level now is she's been educated and tutored in a certain way. That way of freedom. I must know the reason for what I'm doing. Now the husband says, you stay at home today. Look after the children. So, no, you can do it. If I am generating income, you are generating income. We are both equal. If I can look after the children, you must also be able to do the same. If I can prepare for the guests, you must be able to do the same as well. If I can change the napkin, you must be also prepared to do the same. Now he's not prepared to bargain for this. You stay at home, I will go on. So you brought her right up to this point in this way. Then you brought her here and she needs to express all those feelings and sentiments that were put into her. Now you say, no, suddenly I need to put the brakes onto you. I can't allow this to happen. And if she ever does so, then you will smack her. I'm talking of a real situation. You will smack her, you will hit her, you will ostracize her. Now the fear of being ostracized. The fear of being cut off. The fear of how people look at me. Now just because of those fears, she has to come down again. What a difficult exercise. Now then in that whole exercise, then she falls into depression. Then there's an attempted suicide. All this is on account of the way the parent is taking that girl. And the parent's simple excuse is, I don't want to see that any day my girl is lying on the streets. She's got no ways to generate income if she's separated. If she's separated, she must have a way that she can stand up on her own feet. Just because of this one thing, Shaitan put that one thought, all this figure has been done. But he is prepared to bargain for her izzat. Her respect and honor is gone. He doesn't mind bargaining that. He doesn't mind compromising that. He knows that if she's going to be there, she's going to behave like this, and this is expected of her. But he would suppress that if you know, my darling, she won't do such a thing. My girl, she won't do such a thing. He will just appease himself, keep on appeasing himself, and close and lock up his mind to realities. So you see the problem, see how the problem starts, and where it starts. And who is bringing the problem? We are bringing it. We cannot say only the government, we are bringing it. We are bringing it onto ourselves. You can't say community and peer pressure, whatever. We are bringing it upon ourselves. If you want to do a thing, nothing can stop you. You want to be firm, you want to be hard, you want to be strong at a certain point, nothing can stop you. So anyway, I was thinking about this girl, and this man, this soldier saw this girl, and he seemed to be interested. 4 or 5 years of age, And she conducted herself with so much of respect. She brought the water and she left it by me. She didn't serve it to me in her hands. A sign of respect. So he got into a conversation with this girl. Where's your father gone? Says, my father, he's gone to add soil to soil. 4-year-old, 5-year-old girl, gone to add soil to soil. I became more curious. Hey, this girl here, she's got something, looks like. She's not the normal, she's above the normal. Now he became more curious. And your mother, where's she gone to? Not that he's interested, but the curiosity got the better over him. The way this girl is speaking riddles and all that, she seems to be a very intelligent girl. So perhaps I can get some type of solution to my problem. He's on the edge of the sword. Anytime he can be beheaded. So he will look wherever he can find a client, a customer, and he will look for the solution. Where's your mother gone? Mother is she's gone to make two twos of one. She's gone to make twos of ones. She's gone to make twos of ones. Ek ek ko do do karne ke liye gayi. Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained this incident once. Maybe explain. I remember he explained this to us in the presence of Maulana Abdul Haq Sahab rahmatullahi, and it was in Mina, 1979, approximately 1979, in the presence of Maulana Abdul Haq Sahab rahmatullahi. His tent was near our tent, and Maulana Abdul Haq Sahab came to meet. Hazrat rahmatullahi gave this incident. I'm not giving you the same sequence, but I'm just giving you the incident, right? So anyway, he became more curious. He went to make twos of ones. Ek ek ko do do karne ke liye gaye. So he asked this girl. She drank that water, everything is clear now. Anyway, father had come back. From whatever, father had come back, he returned home. So he speaks to the father that this girl of yours, she seems to be quite intelligent. So why? So no, I seen her, how she conducted herself when she was serving the water. Then I looked at her, I marveled. I asked her, where you gone? She says, no. Father is going to add soil to soil. And mother, going to make twos of ones. So I marveled at her. That she's got something, she's got some understanding. But what does she mean by all this? So the father says, the meaning is simple. The meaning is simple. He went to add soil to soil. In other words, he normally does the hearse work, the funeral work. Right? So man is created of dust and he's returning to dust. Man is created of dust, so he's returning to dust. See this girl, how she's thinking. All this is a reflection of the house. What is going on in the house is a reflection. Really, one of the reasons why we get caught up in this whole race is we don't think about death. And the thought of death, and we don't talk about it. Hey, please don't talk about it now. At times, I don't say all the time, at intervals now and then, we talk to our children about these things. That in the unforeseen event of this thing happening, they are prepared. Mentally they are prepared, emotionally they are prepared, intellectually they are prepared, spiritually they are prepared for this. Otherwise now it comes as a shock to them. But you talk to them about it, you take them to a funeral, show them all these things. Expose them to these type of situations, that this is the reality of life. There is a beginning, like I show you, we go to a newborn child's home. So where this child is ending up, where this newborn child is ending up, we take you to that home as well. Like we show you the beginning of man, we show you and introduce you to the end of man as well. Only introducing you to the end of, to the beginning of child and the beginning of man, and not introducing you to the end, is half the story. I didn't give you the complete story, left you in suspense. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi relates one incident in his kitab. woman's daughter was very sick, extremely sick, bedridden. So the old woman was very attached to her daughter, very, very attached to her daughter, whatever the daughter's name must be, Subeda or Salima, whatever it may be. So because of her emotional attachment to her daughter, she's saying, Malakul Maut, please take me and spare my child. Malakul Maut, please, please, I beg you, that please take me and spare my child. All the day she's making the same type of dua. Take me and spare the child. I'm already old now, already on my way, on the return journey. Now she's just starting off her life. Allah Ta'ala, allow her to enjoy her life and take me in her place. Her luck. In India, people have cows, you know, near their homes, they have cows. And they feed the cow from a bucket. You see, one is the fodder that they will feed, supplement, that they can get additional milk. But the bucket that they will feed, the bottom of it is shallow, it's narrow, and the mouth of it is a little bit broad. It's broad, and the bottom of it is narrow. Now that thing went to feed, and that thing's mouth got stuck into that bucket. Now that thing went frantic, obviously, can't breathe properly, all that fodder is going through the nostrils. So that thing getting frantic, it is running wild. Black cow, that thing got a bucket inside on the head, that thing running frantically and is gone into the house. Now the mother says, Malakul Maut, that one there was asking for death, not me. That one there was asking for death, don't mistake. Now that's our halat. That's our halat. You see, now the maut will come for that person, this person here, that person here. No, it won't come to me. And I feel that we don't ever introduce this subject in the house. And because we don't introduce it, therefore it comes like a shock. Now and then, I don't say make it a habit every day you're talking about it, but now and then, at least once in a week, once in 2, 3 days, 4 days, talk about it, go to the Qabristan, help in the funeral, whatever it is, whichever way you can help. So you come to terms with the realities of life. But you don't want to even help, you don't want to even see the funeral car, you don't want to see the person, the hearse driver, you don't want to see him. Sorry, baby. Don't see him. You don't want to see the hearse driver, I want to see Malakul Maut. Hearse driver, he's going to go on the same car. In the same car that he's carrying, he's going to take people as well. Right. So anyway, so she says, the father says that mitti se mitti milane ke liye gaye. What he means? That he went to bury the dead. And he said, your mother ek ek ko do do karne ke liye gaye. Now she's a midwife. She's a midwife. From one you get two, don't get two. Oh, this is brilliant, mashallah, this is brilliant. See, a woman stays in her place. Her brilliance will come out. Her beauty will come out. But she must just remain in her place. Tucked away. That's the beauty. A diamond, you throw it on the road, is there any value for it? The value is gone, it's lost. It's a dirt, it's a litter of the road. There's no value for it. But the thing is tucked away. It's got the value still. Though it may change shape with age, etc., children and all that, it may change shape. But it's got a value. You've got a respect for that woman. Okay? You've got a respect for the woman. She's not a litter of the street. Okay? Anyway, now he says, the most crucial thing is this dream now. So now you ask her for it. She's got that intelligence. What is the meaning of this dream? So she's called in the father's presence. And the whole dream is related to her. This is simple, you didn't understand. The tree represents the earth, right? That represents the earth. The lid represents the sky. The fruit are the different creation, man, everybody included, right? And the knife that's coming from above is Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut doesn't see who's old, he doesn't see now, he is the great grandfather, I must take him first. then the grandfather, then the father, and then the son, and then the grandson. He doesn't look at that. Oh, there was a phone from Johannesburg, Maulana Ahmad Durvesh, and his grandson passed away. Grandfather is alive, and the grandson went away. No, but maybe 2-3 days ago. Right. So sometimes it's green, it's small, and it's taken away. Sometimes he's old and overripe. He's past the mark, 80, 90. يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَرِ الْعُمُرِ. That's what I explained, that's overripe. يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَرِ الْعُمُرِ. A despicable age. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. At that age where he loses his memory, there's a memory loss. He asks you something now, and then after a few minutes, what's your name, bhai? And again, after 10 minutes, what's your name? Don't you see this happening? Loss of memory, senile. So someone is overripe, someone is green, someone is just ripe. So malakul maut doesn't discriminate anybody. Time is up, and you have to leave. The wise thing, the intelligent thing, is to understand that for every person there is an airport. You know, there's a railway station or there's an airport. And none of the passengers can escape the plane. We are on that plane, right? No passenger can ever escape the plane. Can he go and break the door and jump out? He'll still die. Right? So no person, whatever he tries, the best health technique, skipping and dieting or whatever, see? But it's not a license that he was overeater. Whatever you try, but you're in the same plane, and you will have to land at the same airport, the same terminal, you'll have to land. Every passenger will have to get out. Is it possible for any passenger to say that, no, I'm going to stay stuck in this plane, I won't come out of this plane? No, the moment it lands, whether you became the best friend of the steward or not, by now, please leave. And if you're reluctant, they'll tie you up and bundle you out. Won't that happen? Tie you out and throw you out. Now that it's landed, you come to the terminal, now move out. Exactly the same is death, malakul maut. Time has come. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأَخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. You can't advance the time, you can't delay the time. You can't go before your time, and you can't delay. There's no deferred payments there, by Allah Pak. Prompt. The payment is prompt. Time has come, and there you have to pay. Payment must be there, on time. Okay. So this was that incident Hazrat Rahmatullah had given in the plain of Mina in approximately 1979 in the presence of Hazrat Barul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Great lessons come out of this. The main theme is the lesson of death. As I say, we introduce the discussion of death to our people. Now and then, I don't say all the time, otherwise they'll see you and say, the malakul maut came again. If you talk about it too much, when they see you, this angel of death has come. But now and then you must talk about it. Talk about realities. Introduce them to that situation, how you give kafan, how you give dafan, and how do you make ghusl, and the person is in the throes of death. Don't get excited. Now people get excited. People normally get excited. Now, don't know what to do now. Well, let's think to hospital. Every case is not a hospital case. And mind you, over all the centuries, people were dying. People were dying. They're going the same route. Now, what's the sudden reason that now you're rushing to hospital as though now the hospital got that machine to save life? Oh, they don't have, nobody has a machine. Time has come, you go in. If it is meant for him that he will live, he will pull through. And if it is decreed for him that he will die, then you can't save him. Then why is it that we act so frantically? Now it's the time that we are calm with the person, we compose with the person. What is required at that time? Right? And Umarji Sahib, Rahmatullahi, explaining head of a state, a Muslim man, I won't mention the country, the head of a state. And he had a heart problem. And he preferred being treated in a kufar hospital, complete, away from Muslims, totally away from Muslims, hundreds of miles away from Muslims. Totally kufar, no Muslims living around, hundreds of miles. And there, the symptoms of death approached. When the symptoms of death approached, there was a church group that was present, and they offered to do the last rites for this person. The last rites. And they were singing away him and Jesus, and we pray our Father, whatever. And in that state, his soul departed the body. So we don't become frantic over it. It's going to come, it must come. You can't escape it. Right? Rather, take a little bit of pain, but let that be in a Muslim environment, in an Islamic environment. Try your best. Where it is out of control, where it's not within your reach, Allah Ta'ala will help. But as far as possible, do it in an ethos, in an environment where there is some Islam, there is someone that to encourage you at that moment. Don't deliberately go in this thing here. Death and life is a certainty. Nobody can delay it. Nobody can escape it. Nobody can do it. So why must we become so frantic about the whole thing? What, a week or 2 weeks ago, Mullah from Newlands was explaining a case came to him just about 2 weeks ago. Youngster, maybe 14, 15 years of age. The importance of elementary, primary education. Sometimes what happens to us, we see a dull room and we attach over importance, attach too much of importance to it. If everything is done moderately and correctly, with the correct balances and proportion, things run well. Really, take everything proportionately. 98%, 99% of the public go to these maktabs. Where they learn iman, they learn at the maktab. The procedure of namaz, where do they learn? They learn at the maktab. What nullifies wuzu and ghusl, they learn that at the maktab. What is a parent and a little bit of a respect of a parent, they learn at the maktab. So that little bit of deen that they have got, they learn it at that level. And then we don't show any importance to it. It's something wrong in us. You ask 98% of the public, where do you learn the kalimas? And you read namaz, where do you learn how to perform namaz? You know what nullifies your ghusl and wuzu, where do you learn all these things? You know, and you learn to, you must keep and observe the rozas of Ramadan. Where do you go and learn it? They will all tell you, we learned it at the maktab. Right? Then we show scant regard for it, it's not right. It's being unfair. Right? So you treat everything proportionately, in that proportion, then you'll find a healthy society. I don't say don't respect a madrasa, proportionately. This is also important. This is like the factory. Right? You need to produce the type of people that would run those madrasas eventually. If the factory is not going to produce, then you will find the effect of it there. But you respect this and you respect that as well. But respect it proportionately. See? So anyway, this youngster was quite in a serious state. Our duty is not to become despondent, nor to make anybody else despondent. No matter what the condition is, person is dying of AIDS, whatever it is, don't make the person despondent. You're not Allah Ta'ala. But by the same rule, by the same token, don't go into those sins that will lead up to AIDS. Right? And that type of illnesses that we try and save ourselves from. But if it has happened now, don't go and make the person despondent as though the doors of Tawbah have been closed to them. No. Brighten him up. Bring him up. The minimum will happen is he will be happy with Allah Ta'ala. He will be happy with deen. He will be happy with his Rasulullah Pak Sassan. And is leaving the world happy with deen, happy with Allah Ta'ala, happy with Rasulullah Pak Sassan. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will see him well also. Because he's happy with Allah Ta'ala. He's not leaving the world, na'uzubillah, with resentment for deen, for Allah Ta'ala, for his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you pick him up. Anyway, this youngster, he was on that state of his life last, and some missionary group, a white woman was there, So they took advantage over the situation. Right? She went and embraced the child and says, "Oh, let's pray to Jesus and Jesus will save." I imagine at that state, the person requires a lot of moral support. He can hardly move himself. He can hardly strip, he can hardly eat. And someone gave that moral support, they went and embraced the person. The person feels very well. Really, sometimes I feel what is lacking within us is we don't show the love to these new people in Islam. Like we show to our own, we don't show the same type of love to these people. What's not in them? What's wrong that we don't show the type of love? If it's our own, then we show all the type of love. And if it's that, then no, we don't show the type of love. Is that right? Maulana Ismail Abdul Razzaq Sahib, he was relating an incident. He says they were in a black area, wherever it was. So the child was dirty, dusty, nose leaking and all that. So he asked one of his satis, pick up the child and give him a hug, kiss him. So now the sati saw that his nose was leaking, clothes dusty, picked him up like this, reluctantly. So Maulana felt very upset about this. Maulana says, it was Prince Diana, and someone asked you to give a hug. Say, astaghfirullah, but you have done it. Wholeheartedly, you have done it. Astaghfirullah, never mind. Allah will make maaf. And wholeheartedly, you have given an embrace, right? And this one, he has got trillions of times better, greater than what she's got. He's got iman. This child has got iman. So she has got trillion times more than what this thing has got. So you don't you value that? Don't you have a respect for it? So really what we need to understand is we need to show respect and love. Anybody for that matter, you show respect and love, they will come close to you. But now you show that you're a different class, you can't associate, keep away, keep aloof. Then they also keep aloof, they won't come close to you. So they can see it, anybody, any human being can sense it, that this person considers us to be of an inferior class. I'm a second stage, I'm a citizen, but at the second level, second class. I'm not the first class citizen. So he can sense it, they can feel it. When you consider them and you treat them like a second class, then they will give you the type of responses. But you treat them with respect, with love, they will also respond towards you in the same manner. So anyway, we're talking about this child here. And the child was prompted to say Jesus. And the child says, "Oh Allah." Imagine he's in the last. But what love that Apa or that Munshi Sahib or that Hafiz Sahib must have shown him at the level of the Maktab. The love that Muhabbat was instilled. That Kalima and that Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was instilled into the child's heart with Muhabbat and love. And that Muhabbat and love, that cement, that concrete is such, you can't separate it, you can't break it out. It's such a mixture that you can't. Here she's insisting, the church groups are coming and insisting with the child. Say, "No, Allah, Allah." The child needs all the support at that time. All the moral support, emotional support. Every type of support he requires. But that Apa's love and attention for the child at that level was so great. So, "No, Allah." And it was the child's luck eventually. It was the child's luck that there were some Muslim people around there. Maybe a Jamaat, Tabligh Jamaat, whatever they have, like how they normally would go for showing the respect to the sick. And they came across this child. And they recited the Kalima. Very clearly the child recited the Kalima. He breathed his last and he's gone. But do you see? Do you see the importance of introducing the subject? Then number two is the importance of this education at the primary level, which we consider with scant regard, no respect for it. Really, many a times I feel that it's very, very important, very important. See, anything of deen, we don't look at it with insignificance. We don't look at it with disrespect and disregard. It's of deen, it's one level of deen, we respect it. Like, your left eye and your right eye, right? You don't say, "No, your left eye is not important, you're going to bust it and throw it away." No. If the right eye is more important, the left eye is also important. You're not going to bargain for it. You're not going to give it away. For any price, you're not going to give it away. Like this is important, that is also important. So, similarly, any service of deen, any branch, any service of deen, at any class, at any level, our duty is we respect it. That person made a mistake, that's between him and Allah Ta'ala. We don't follow him in the mistake. He made a mistake between him and Allah Ta'ala. We don't follow him, and we don't speak about his mistake. We don't go through the whole town and speak about the person's mistake. Why? Because he's rendering some service to deen. Right? Allah forbid, khuda na khasta. Look at it in retrospect. You know, many things, we just look at it across the board. Say for example, Allah Ta'ala forbid, our own child got involved in the mistake. Will you go and broadcast it throughout the town? You won't do it. Now this person that is teaching deen, can't we have a little bit of respect and regard for him? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.